You're listening to the Visibly Fit Podcast. Hey, I'm your host, Wendy Pett, and every week I'll give you holistic, practical solutions for everyday issues related to nutrition, healing, functional fitness, and behavior modifications. As a naturopath, fitness expert, and wellness coach for over 20 years, my goal is to empower you to reach for greater health and to rise up to your next level of living in mind, body, and spirit. You were created with greatness in mind. It's time to own it. Are you with me? Then let's dive in. Hello, hello. This is Wendy Pett, and you are listening to the Visibly Fit Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is going to be a little bit different of a podcast episode today, as I have brought collectively the top 10 best solo shows together. Actually, the last 10 best solo shows within the last 100 episodes. So I just thought it'd be kind of fun to collectively have them all together. And these are top solo shows because you made them top shows, because you listened to them the most, you shared them, you commented. And so I just thought, how fun to have it all in one episode. So I hope you enjoy the show and share this one as well. And I will, catch you same time, same place next episode as well, but I wanted to collectively have all this here for you to listen to. Enjoy the show. I want you to practice a little shadow boxing and no longer allow your past or adopted titles that weren't meant for you in the first place to stand in the way of God's greatness and calling on your life. So, are you ready? All right. I want you to actually pick up those boxing gloves. Yes, go ahead. Put them on in your mind. Put on those red boxing gloves, because I want you to think about whatever that thing is that's been holding you back or keeping you stuck. Is it jealousy? Maybe it's an action or thought that isn't God honoring, or maybe it's such a dark shadow that no one even knows about it but you. I want you to step into that shadow for just a moment. And let's have a match. Let's duke it out. Surrender and step into the light. Surrender to the stronghold that has been keeping you from fully being as God intended. So are you ready? Let's actually do this. All right. I don't know how I can do this on the podcast, but I'm gonna do my best. Let's go ahead and seriously duke it out for, like, I don't know, 60 seconds. I don't even have a stopwatch here, but actually, yeah, I do. I've got my phone. So we're going to do that. I want you to put your hands up. All right. And I want you to imagine that very thing that is holding you back, that you need to do a little shadow boxing with. What are you afraid of? Are you afraid of failure? Are you afraid that of rejection? Are you afraid? What are you afraid of? Right. What is holding you back? What, you know, quote unquote, sin, that thing that you might be doing that's missing the mark. What are you doing that's keeping you in your very best, healthiest self and in that close relationship with the Lord? Let's duke it out. So, got on those boxing gloves? Yep, got them on. Well, I want you to literally think about a punching bag in front of you, and let's duke it out for just 60 seconds, all right? And maybe you're driving while listening to this, so don't do it while you're driving, but maybe at another time. But for just 60 seconds, let's just pretend like you're hitting a punching bag, but you're actually hitting out that shadow of that stronghold that has been following you for so long. So again, first we have to acknowledge it. So think about that for just a moment. What is it? What is it that maybe no one even knows that is the shadow that is always following you around and not helping you? It's not the kind of shadow that is a Christ shadow that is allowing people to be healed because of the shadow. It's a shadow that's holding you back and keeping you stuck. What is it? Acknowledge it and let's duke it out. Ready? And here we go. There are several areas in the world that people tend to live longer. Now, interestingly enough, and unfortunately, a lot of the Western culture is starting to just kind of infiltrate some of those blue zone areas with the fast food and unhealthy lifestyle
but mainly through foods, right? Unhealthy foods. And it's kind of tweaking the numbers a bit, which is a shame. But Loma Linda, California is a place here in the United States that is known for as a blue zone. There's several places, but Okinawa, Japan is where the oldest woman was from. So I want to talk a little bit about Okinawa and why. Why are there more people that live to be a ripe old age? You know, they're called centenarians, not centurions. I've said that before. That's the wrong word, but it's centenarian. So I want to make sure I got that right, which, duh, it's not centurion, but centenarian. So why are they living longer in Okinawa? Well, here's a few reasons why. One, they have something that's called a Moai group that they can lean into. A Moai group, M-O-A-I, is basically what they call a group of lifelong friends or family support group that they do life with, right? So think about your church community, or, you know, think about your family first and foremost. Hopefully you have a healthy family that you can lean on and it's a good support. If not, how is your church community? Think about small groups, how you're doing life and have the opportunity to do life with small groups. Or what about just in your community in general? Maybe it's with an organization that you're a part of, or maybe you are philanthropic in one area or another, that you have a good Moai support group where you're doing life together. This is one of the key ingredients to becoming as someone who is a centenarian, right? So a Moai group, this allows people to live longer, and the effects of a Moai group are incredible. Okinawans also have a strong sense of purpose. Now, I'm going to botch this word, kind of like centenarian, but it's I-K-I-G-A-I, Ikigai. I don't know. But it's I-K-I-G-A-I. And that is their sense of purpose. They have a strong sense of purpose, something that is like, oh, I have a reason to get up in the morning. So do you know your purpose? Do you have that reason, that drive that's pushing you and propelling you out of bed each and every morning? And I don't just mean your job. Like, that's maybe it's your job. Maybe your job is a big part of your purpose. But I would say the majority of people, their job is just their job. So really knowing your purpose will help you live longer. Do you have piles of clothes in your closet? Do you have just stuff laying around, piles of papers? Do you have a lot of stuff? Maybe you really are a hoarder. Okay. Now, I have watched that show. I don't know if you've watched the show called Hoarders. And it's one of those shows that's hard to watch, but yet you can't stop watching. You know what I mean? It's like, wow, you feel this compassion for these people, empathy, and yet you scratch your head thinking, how are they living in these conditions? Well, if you are listening, and you're like, oh my goodness, I'm technically a hoarder. Listen, I'm not bringing any condemnation or shame or anything as we have this podcast and this discussion. I just want to bring awareness to how the effects of stuff really does stifle and affect our best health. And you may even just have, I don't know, a junk room or a junk drawer or two. And this is actually affecting you. Now, hoarding is considered a complex psychological disorder, and it's characterized by an excessive accumulation of belongings and the inability to part with them, okay? It usually leads, of course, to cluttered spaces. For many individuals that are dealing with hoarding or just, you know, those junk rooms, junk drawers, junk closets, it can just really start to take a preoccupation of your mind, and you probably don't even realize it sometimes. It's just kind of running back in the back of your mind of, oh, I really need to clean that
clean up that pile or go through that box, or it's just always a preoccupation. And so it's keeping you from the freedom that we really long for, right? We really long for that freedom to be able to think more clearly and to have more creativity, and having stuff around us that feels kind of suffocating, it diminishes and stuff, I guess snuffs out is the word. It snuffs out our creative ability. And it's about getting rid of the stuff so that you don't have the anxiety and the stress and even depression that goes along with having so much stuff around you. There's over 9,200 known forever chemicals that we're dealing with on a daily basis. And these chemicals can linger in our environment for decades and even centuries. I mean, it's awful, you guys. And it not only lingers in our environment, they can linger in our bodies. And that's the biggest issue. We want to be able to detox from these chemicals and stop using products that are leaching these chemicals and causing havoc on our bodies and causing dis-ease in the body. Disease such as, you know, heart disease and cancers, and even causing birth defects. And, you know, pregnant women, actually, they are transmitting these chemicals to their babies before they're even born. They've been testing just the umbilical cords, and there's hundreds of PFAS already that have been transmitted to the baby before the baby's even born through the mom. Yeah, right? Like, we would think that the baby's protected, you know, with the placenta and all, but no, that's not true. So we have to be very cognizant and aware of what we're putting on our skin, in our body, and how our environment is, okay? Now, these forever chemicals really started to play a big role in the 1940s, you know, after the Depression, and then after just people started to thrive and get creative and start to really create different technologies to make life easier. And so that goes anywhere from the fast food kind of movement with the wrappers and such. There's that waxy kind of paper so that, you know, on the inside, so the food doesn't stick to the paper. Well, that has forever chemicals on that wax. There's things like Teflon, you've heard of Teflon, and that is known as a carcinogen, right? It's in some of our clothes. Like, if you have clothes that are wrinkle-free, because that makes life easier, right? Wrinkle-free clothes. Hey, I'm all about it. But when you realize what all's in the clothes, you're like, uh-oh, this isn't so good. And it really does leach into our largest organ, our skin. And so that Teflon, just because the clothes look good and it's, you know, easier, you don't have to iron it. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? The answer is no. How about wrinkle-free sheets, right? So you're tossing and turning, hopefully you're sleeping, not tossing and turning. But what I mean is, you're in bed and you're, you know, probably have hardly anything on, just your sleepwear, but it's your skin is absorbing that Teflon that is in those wrinkle-free sheets. And so, is it worth it? Some of you may say yes, but I'm going to say no. We really just need to realize that sometimes the easy route isn't the best route. And the making life easier isn't always so great. If you were on the trajectory to get 1% better each and every day, James Clear says that basically compounded over the course of a year, you would be 37 times better at the end of the year than when you started. Then that's just 1% better at something every day. But it takes intentional, right? Intentionality. It takes a plan, and it takes really having that vision of success, and also that vision of failure. Like, how are you going to feel? How are you going to be? What's holding you back to hopefully keep those 1% happening each and every day? And I think that those 1% can happen using net time. Some people may call this, you know, multitasking. Some people call it habit stacking, but I'm just going to call it using net time because there's so many ways in which you can incorporate something else, that 1% of something else that's healthy, to your already existing lifestyle. For instance, the other day I was on the vibration plate, and it's about a 10-minute routine that I do, and I'm just on the vibration plate, enjoying it, you know, but it's 10 minutes of just the vibration plate. And I thought, well, why am I not doing my 7x11 exercises, my Visibly Fit exercises while I'm on the plate? Duh. So I started doing my 7x11s on the vibration plate, and it was perfect timing. Like, it was exactly 10 minutes. And I thought, bam, that's a new habit stack. So I'm going to use net time for this area of my life and get in my 7x11 exercises in that moment instead of doing them separately. So that's what I mean by using net time to create, that 1% better opportunity in your life each and every day.
Sitting is just as detrimental to the body as smoking. And so you have to move your body. I don't know what you do for a living, and I don't know kind of your habitual routine of your lifestyle, but if you are not moving your body, I'm here to give you a push, a loving push. Again, the body starts to atrophy just after 20 minutes of not working against gravity. So if you are sitting all day long, you need to stand up. You need to do some calf raises. You need to do some squats. If you're standing all the time, squat down or do some calf raises. We have to work against gravity. Instead of taking elevators and escalators, take the stairs. Always take the stairs. It really does make a big difference, especially like midday when you have those midday slumps and we were able to take a break and go back to our room for whatever reason, you know, instead of taking the elevator, I took the stairs and all of a sudden I had more energy. That slump was gone. So a lot of times you just need movement. Don't reach for caffeine. Don't reach for sugar. Please, please, please don't. Your body just needs movement. We need to get the blood pumping, the heart going. And also, I mean, it will help with clarity of mind and help you have a better attitude. And just, you know, release those positive endorphins, that dopamine, so that you are a happier person when you are moving. Okay. So movement matters. So let's get those mini exercises, those little mini movement moments into your day. And so here are a few hacks that I do that you might find helpful, or maybe it's something that you're like, nah, I never really considered that. That's a great idea. So I'm going to go over a few of these again. Some of these you probably know, but again, they are reminders, and hopefully it will encourage you to get movement into your day during your workday and also just your regular lifestyle day. When I am doing things I do all the time, like, you know, every day, like brush my teeth or dry my hair, things like that, I will do squats while I'm brushing my teeth, or I'll do calf raises. Same thing with blow drying my hair. Squats or calf raises or something, even some lunges. You can do, you know, get creative. Get creative with your movement. But why not? Why not like double up on your effort if you're just doing that same routine over and over every day and you can incorporate some movement, even if it's like little side steps while you're brushing your teeth or walking around the bathroom or around the house while you're brushing your teeth. Getting movement really does matter. And every step counts. It really does.
Loneliness and isolation is actually a real problem. In an article from the Department of Health Sciences in the UK that said that social isolation and poor relationships contribute to 29% of an increase of cardiac heart disease and 32% increased risk of stroke. This is loneliness and isolation. Have you ever thought of that? Have you ever considered it? You know, it is something that I hear more and more of, that people are lonely and they're in an isolated place. And it doesn't have to be that way, but here's something else that I'll tell you. This is a stat that might help you if you are in a place of loneliness or isolation, help you take steps to change that situation. Okay. We all have different journeys that we're on, and it could be that you have lost a spouse and you're alone, or it could be that you're in a maybe just a depressed state. It could be all kinds of things, right? But I've got some steps and some ideas of ways to get out of this loneliness. But here's what I wanted to tell you is, you know, we've all heard that sitting is the new smoking. We've heard that for a while now. But what if I told you, and this was actually based on a study published in the Journal of Public Library of Science Medicine, that loneliness, that the health impact of loneliness is comparable to smoking up to 15 cigarettes a day. Yeah, the effects and the impact of loneliness is comparable to smoking up to 15 cigarettes a day. Obviously, you're not going to have the lung issues from cigarettes, but the impact at the cellular level and what it does to our bodies is huge, and to our minds. And so I just want to read a couple things here from God's word about loneliness, and also about community, because this is important that we start to find creative ways to have a social life and to have community, and realize that relationships are vital. Good, healthy relationships are vital. Stretching does more than just allow you flexibility. It actually does so many more things, and we're going to talk about. But one of those things is, again, that flexibility, which is the main reason that most people stretch, because they want to be able to reach something off of a, you know, top shelf, or they just want to be able to reach down and touch their toes or tie their shoes, for goodness sakes, right? Like, some people are not even flexible to be able to bend down and tie their shoes. So regular stretching can improve that flexibility and range of motion. And this helps you perform better with your physical activities and just everyday, daily life activities, like I mentioned, just tying your shoes. But it also helps to reduce the risk of injuries. But here's the deal. Individual flexibility really depends on many factors, and everybody's different, right? But it really determines on your joint structure, your ligaments, your tendons, your muscles, your skin, your fat tissue, body temperature, your gender, your age. It really determines multiple things as far as how flexible you are. But there are some people, and I know several of them, that rarely stretch at all, and they are as pliable as rubber bands, right? Like, they are like Gumby. They can just move here, there, and everywhere, and they're not in pain, and you're like, wow, that's amazing. While others of us, including myself, we have to practice more in order to get more flexibility. And so that might be you. I mean, I would say that the majority of people need to practice stretching so that we can have that flexibility that we desire. Because without stretching and flexibility, actually the connective tissue of the muscles becomes weak. And we don't want that, because that weakness increases the potential for damage when, like, situations suddenly demand a powerful, like, muscular contraction. Like, here in Minnesota, I've mentioned this before in this podcast, but, you know, it's cold and icy in the winter. And if you slip on a piece of ice and you kind of jolt quickly and your muscles contract quick, and if you haven't been stretching and if you're not a little more flexible, you could risk being injured and fall even. But if you're more flexible and pliable, the risk of injury is less, and you're able to recover quickly out of something like that when your muscles contract quick. Seed oils are derived from the seeds of various plants. That makes sense, right? Seed oils. They derive from seeds, and often they are grouped together. And like I said, they're known as the hateful eight. Now, I want you to kind of think in your mind right now, what might those seed oils be? And maybe you don't know. Maybe it's something that you use a lot already, or maybe you've heard about it and you're seeing it more and more in processed foods. But I'm going to give you a list, because there's safflower oil, there's sunflower, there's canola, soybean,
cottonseed, grapeseed, corn, and rice bran. Okay, so those are kind of the hateful eight. And if you start looking at your, oh gosh, the packaging on things that you buy, you're probably going to see that most of the processed foods, if you have them, hopefully you are weeding those out and you're no longer purchasing processed foods. But if you have some, you're going to notice that these are in the foods because they help with shelf life so much, right? And they're very inexpensive. And so food manufacturers really are using a lot of these seed oils, and it really gets our omega-3s and omega-6s way out of balance. And that's what leads to the inflammation. Do we need omega-6? Yeah, in small amounts, but man, it's like topsy-turvy right now with the way in which people are consuming these seed oils. So I know, especially with RFK Junior coming into play, he's talked a lot about seed oils. You're hearing more and more of it. So that's really why I wanted to talk about it, because a lot of people just really aren't aware, right? And so let's go back to these seed oils and understanding that these oils are typically, there's two different ways in which there are methods in which they're processed. They are cold pressed, which maintains more of the nutrients and flavor, and chemical solvent extraction. Now that's where seeds are treated with solvents before being fully refined and deodorized. Now these oils are common. I mean, they are in your kitchen probably right now as we are having this little conversation. And I want you to become more aware, okay? Because again, the food manufacturers really love seed oils because they're affordable. And there's more of a neutral taste, and it allows the high cooking temperatures to be handled better, or so they think, right? Now, they contain polyunsaturated fats. And again, that's going to be that omega-6 fatty acid. And that is what is, you know, beneficial in a small amount. But in the Western diet, it's just really... It's way topsy-turvy. We need to have more of the omega-3s because these omega-6s are leading to unhealthy balanced diets, and it's promoting major inflammation. And these inflammatory responses, what happens? Well, it's associated with chronic conditions like heart disease, diabetes, autoimmune disease, the list goes on, cancer, which is an autoimmune disease. So it's really understanding that it's not one thing that we're consuming, but seed oils are a major thing that we're consuming that is really wreaking havoc on our health. And so what do we do about it? Well, there's a lot of things that we can do about it, but these seed oils, they can oxidize, and they form really harmful free radicals. And that's what's going to damage our body at the cellular level. And guess what? That accelerates aging. Magnesium is actually one of the top five minerals that is most abundant in the human body, or it should be. It should be one of the most abundant. But again, the standard American diet is keeping that from happening, as well as agriculture, the agricultural industry. And so it's keeping people lacking. And this is a much needed electrolyte. It really is. So I was thinking about a study that I read the other day, and it was a study that was published in the Journal of the American Osteopathic Association. And it says that as much as half of the total United States population is magnesium deficient. Okay? More than half. I mean, that's a lot. That is a lot. If you aren't getting enough magnesium, then honestly, you are setting yourself up for metabolic disorders, osteoporosis, cardiac events, and much more. Because again, your body cannot metabolize vitamin D if magnesium is not in play. So if you're deficient, it's a bigger issue than you might realize. Okay. Magnesium helps to regulate your blood sugar levels. And it's also vital to support muscle and nerve function, as well as making protein and bone and DNA. Magnesium helps with our energy production. As most of you probably know too, it can be a really effective sleep aid
or just to help you calm, just kind of play that calming role in your life. Now, our body actually does not make magnesium naturally. So, and yet it's essential. So we have to figure out, how are we getting enough magnesium? So again, if you're not getting it from your foods, I highly suggest that you are doing all that you can to do so. And if you have questions on that, get in touch with me.
Well, that's a wrap for today's show. So thank you so much for tuning in. I love spending this time with you. To learn more and get more free resources, just head on over to wendypett.com. And thank you in advance for sharing this episode and this podcast, following and subscribing not only to this podcast, but finding me on social media, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, wherever you are, I'm probably there too. Until next week and our next podcast time together, make it a visibly fit day.